Many years ago, before I moved to Wisconsin, I worked in an office job managing international programs. Part of my job, from time to time, involved interviewing potential new staff members for our department. One question I liked to ask was, "What kinds of people do you find hard to work with?" The answers could sometimes be revealing, especially when the job candidates, applicants, described how they had dealt with the challenges of working with difficult people in the past, whatever counted as difficult to them. It was my good fortune in those years that I was generally the person asking the question, not the one being asked. I'm not sure my honest answer would have made much of an impression on a prospective boss. Happily, I haven't personally had many encounters with coworkers who were dishonest or irresponsible, so those obvious kinds of answers didn't come to my mind. Nope, for me, in truth, the people who drove me nuts were the ones who think big. Constantly, exclusively, people of boundless vision, never acknowledging constraints, impatient with compromise, uninterested in growing our program one step at a time. I felt like I could never pull them back to earth, to where their feet touched the ground and we could talk about practical action. There were several such people, and I got along fine with all of them on a personal level, but I'm sure that when it came to the work we were doing, I drove those colleagues nuts as well. I'm sure they saw me, accurately, as limited in vision, too ready to bow to realism and pragmatism, too insistent on following established procedures to get where we wanted to go, too incremental, one step at a time, too focused on holding the overall enterprise together while they were trying to blow it apart. The occasional tension when those individuals and I had to work together reminded me of the tension between priests and prophets in the ancient Hebrew scriptures. The prophets are the ones we read, remember, and honor. Isaiah, Amos, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Jesus of Nazareth. The prophets weren't tied down to any organizational structure. They were wanderers, voices crying in the wilderness, speaking to anyone who would come and listen. They stood outside the institutions of their time and criticized those institutions, not for existing, but for falling short. Prophecy doesn't necessarily mean predicting the future. It turns into foretelling. Well, it's conveying a divine or inspired message is what prophecy is. And it turns into foretelling when it takes the form of either visualizing a future ideal, justice shall rule down like waters, or a warning. Here's what will happen if you don't mess your ways. So those were the prophets. The priests were a different lot. They were the institutionalists. They were attached to temples and sanctuaries. They took care of the Ark of the Covenant. They were responsible for conducting the sacrifices, carrying out the rituals, setting out the laws, maintaining the traditions. In the Hebrew scriptures, the priests speak through parts of books like Leviticus and Deuteronomy. They speak through thou shalts and thou shalt nots and whole paragraphs of who begat whom. They make really pretty dull reading for the most part. And they're the ones that the prophets like to complain about. On the back of our order of service this week and every week, there's a list of the sources of our living tradition. And that list includes words and deeds of prophetic women and men which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. The listed sources don't mention the words and deeds of priestly women and men who keep our traditions alive, who conduct our rituals, who make sure our actions are in keeping with our bylaws. And yet, I would say we need both, and not just in our professional clergy and not just in our congregations. According to our Unitarian Universalist heritage, all of us are called to ministries in one form and another. It's those wider ministries that I want to talk about today. Some have prophetic ministries, speaking out publicly and passionately about what needs to change for our communities, our nation, and our planet to survive. And some are called to a more priestly ministry, keeping the chalice burning, seeing that the snow gets shoveled, conducting weddings and memorial services. Outside the congregations, the priests make sure the traditions get followed, the state and federal constitutions observed, decisions made in the manner provided by law. The priests sort out details and negotiate compromises. The prophets hate details and compromises. Looking back over United States history, we often point to the last years of slavery in the 1800s as an era that called for the moral fervor of prophetic women and men, the abolitionists. And it did. It also called for statesmen, pragmatists, negotiators, priests. The theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, in his Leaves from the Notebook of a Tamed Cynic, wrote that there was no reason to believe that Abraham Lincoln, the statesman and opportunist, was morally inferior to William Lloyd Garrison, the prophet. The moral achievement of statesmen must be judged in terms which take account of the limitations of human society, which the statesman must and the prophet need not consider, Niebuhr wrote. Two different roles, two different personalities, often in conflict, not only in ancient times, but modern times as well, like the workplace scenario I began with. The prophet saying, "You think too small, you're too rigid or incremental, too willing to compromise." And the priest saying, "Can't you come down to earth and work something out? Maybe not something perfect, but something that actually gets done." There are many valid ways to serve, many ways to lead, many ways to contribute. Many forms of ministry we can choose to practice in our lives, and it isn't either or. Each of us can practice different ministries in different contexts, if we choose to, or different ministries from minute to minute, or some blending of the two. The same person might do the priestly work of organizing an event and conducting an opening ritual, then deliver a prophetic speech to stir the listeners to action. Our professional minister does that all the time, and so do many of you, I know. What's more, even though tension can erupt between the different roles, I find it personally helpful to recognize that they support and need each other. After the prophet motivates and energizes a crowd, the priest blocks out a process to convert that motivation and energy into action. At home, with friends or family, the ones who put dinner on the table sometimes provide the setting, the infrastructure, for themselves or others to advocate a passionate moral viewpoint over dinner. I've talked about the roles of prophet and priest, but there are others, and for whatever reason, most of them seem to begin with P. I've found references online to the ministries of preacher, parson, prayer leader, poet, professor, even prince or princess. But apart from prophet and priest, the one that comes up most often, with the most application to everyday life, is pastoral ministry. A close friend and neighbor of mine died a couple of months ago. She was not a prophet, She didn't go out giving speeches and infusing everyone with a vision of what could be. She wasn't a priest either. She wasn't particularly a joiner, not particularly an institutionalist. But I would say that she did personal ministry every day of her life. She tended to the minds, bodies, and spirits of everyone who crossed her path. She took care of dogs, cats, and birds. She devoted her life to nurturing, caretaking. The word pastor comes from a root that means shepherd, the one who feeds and takes care of the flock. In our children's story, my neighbor would have been the one picking the gunk out of the like bird's feathers. Self-care can be pastoral as well. Sometimes the person in your world most in need of healing and comfort may be yourself. It's been said that the task of ministry is to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. While the prophets are out there stirring people to discomfort, to action, to transformation, the pastors are sitting with the sick and the discouraged, bringing healing and solace. The prophets rouse us to do better. The pastors say, "You are perfect, you are loved, exactly as you are." So who's right? The prophets who exhort us to change the world, to build a social order based on justice? Or the pastors who comfort people and animals back to hope and serenity? Or the committee members and worship associates and others who provide the framework for this work, who help us build and sustain community and keep our rituals and traditions alive? They're all right, of course. We need all three. Some of us lean more toward one style than another. Some may feel called to other sorts of personal ministries I haven't mentioned this morning, whether or not they begin with P. It's important to acknowledge that the forms of prophecy, priesthood, and pastorhood can be misused. A charismatic leader can pull crowds in a harmful direction. Some traditions don't deserve to be maintained. Misguided nurture can foster codependency. But that's not the fault of the forms. With thoughtfulness and good intentions, they can all serve the world, because the world includes it all. The planet, the nation, the community, the congregation, your family, yourself. We can all do the work of love, each in his or her own way. If prophecy isn't your calling, that's all right. Or priesthood, or pastoral nurture. You can decide to try on different roles for personal or spiritual growth, or because you feel your call changing. But you aren't required to. Only you can decide at any given time how much to stretch and how much to honor your comfort zone. You don't need an excuse to be who you are. Among us all, we have it all. No one needs to fill every role. During the week ahead, I'd invite you to try on this vocabulary of prophet, priest, and pastor to see how it fits you. How do you experience your ministry in the world? Do you tend to admire people whose ministries most resemble your own? Do you value both your gifts and the gifts of others whose ministries are different from yours? You are not alone. There are others walking with you, doing the same work. There are others walking with you doing different work, too. Prophets, pastors, priests, we can all support one another. The world needs us all.